As we're putting together this message, I couldn't settle on which title slide I wanted, so I'm going to let you guys pick. And I've got three slides, so we'll put them up and let you take a look at them, and then we'll go back and let you, I guess, by applause or whatever, which one you like the most. And maybe we'll just switch it up each week and use a different one. But, okay, this is that the first one? I think that's the first one. Okay, that's number two. That's number three. And I can tell you which one I liked and which one my kids liked. Okay, so go back to one. We'll do applause, okay, by applause, just for fun. Okay, who likes this one as the best for the title slide? Okay. All right. How about the second one? I like that one because there's a black sheep in there. All right, how about the third one? Okay, I think that's the one that my kids like. Grace, is that the one you liked? Yeah, and I think I like the first one. Yeah, so, okay, good. I think everybody liked the first one. I win. Grace, you owe me $10. What'd you say? Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, the problem here is it's like the face of God. Is that the face of? No. So. But it's a good image for a shepherd. I think we can connect and relate to that. All right, I'm going to start off by just reading the entire psalm, and I think we'll do this each week, just read the entire psalm and then come back and spotlight the verse that we're in. So here we go, 23rd Psalm. This is from the New American Standard version of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness, that word is hesed, that's really the descriptive word of God in all of Scripture, his hesed, loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that so good? Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was looking at different translations and versions to see, you know, how do they read a little bit differently, and the Hawaiian Pidgin is a legitimate translation. Wycliffe Bible translators in Hawaii, there's a people group there, and it's kind of like talking jive, but it's so cool, it's so refreshing. But here's what how Hawaiian Pidgin reads. The one in charge, he take care of me, just like the sheep guy take care of his sheeps. That's why I get everything I need. Yeah, Jamaican, that's right. And the New Living Translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. The Hebrew literal, it reads like this. It's not up there, but I shall want not, my shepherd, Yahweh, is of David. So it says the Lord, that word Lord is Yahweh. That's the unspoken name of God. Yahweh is my shepherd. And I love all of those. They give us a little, the NIV reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. And I thought as I was reading this, you know, I was camping out on this past week, and it really filled my heart. Going through all the stuff that we were going through with our dog, it was back and forth and just crazy. And I was just thinking over and over, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I have all that I need. I lack nothing. I shall not want. And it enabled me to kind of camp out in gratitude. And I don't know if you've ever heard this, but Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers, very often, I think I've heard every time he was invited to speak publicly, he would start his speech by asking people to take 1 minute to silently reflect on the people that were used in their life to help them get to where they were. Just gratitude. And so I want to do a little bit of the same thing. Take a minute and just reflect on this passage and what that looks like in your life right now, about God's goodness in your life, God's provision in your life, the reality that we have all that we need. So much of what we have we take for granted, and we just don't even think about it. We blaze through life without really thinking about gratefulness, and we oftentimes begin to take on an entitled spirit. And so I'll take a minute. I want you guys just to sit quietly. You can close your eyes if you want to, but just really think, what are three things? What are, you know, four or five things that this morning as we sit that you are grateful for, that the Lord is your shepherd and he has provided everything that you need? What are those things? Take a minute and reflect silently. Scripture tells us in James 1 that every good and perfect gift is from God. Psalm 84 says that no good thing does he withhold from his children, to those who walk in his path. No good thing. God is a good God. And I would encourage you, I try to do it on a regular basis, just to stop and think about, what am I grateful for from this day? To try to increase and build a heart of gratitude, because that really is the source of joy. It fuels my relationship with God when I'm just thankful. And I have to practice that. It's truly an exercise. But I hope that was encouraging and beneficial for you. So first thing, real quick, going through the verse. Yahweh is my shepherd. You can say that. He's my shepherd. It's not a general thing. He is your shepherd. He cares for you in a personal way. He is a personal God. The God that created the universe and everything in it, that created you, that seems and can feel very distant because of how immense he is very personal. He's right here. He's with you. His spirit is in you. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he's personal. He takes care of his sheep intimately and uniquely. He knows what each one of us needs, and he gives us everything that we need, is what this verse says. As our shepherd, what does he do? He leads us. He provides for us. He feeds us. He protects us. He rescues us. He restores us. He heals us. He nurtures us. And he gives us everything that we need. He is a good God. But this is the God of the universe. Yahweh is our shepherd. I have everything that I need. I shall not want. I lack nothing. And I really thought deeply about this week. Is that really true? Do I really have everything that I need? And as I thought about Kerrville, Texas, Ken mentioned that last week. I know our hearts have just been broken looking at everything that's gone on out there. And there's always stuff. This world, there's so much damage and destruction and people and natural events. And you just think, how does that fit? How can they, people who have lost their children, their little girls who are at this summer Christian camp for girls, Camp Mystic, can they really say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I have everything that I need? Can they say that? There's a lot of hard stuff that we've gone through in this room. Really hard stuff. And a lot of people walk away from faith because they experience those hard things of life and they go, I'm out. I can't reconcile a good God in my bad, hard, difficult, unexplainable circumstances. I don't know what to do with that. Can we say that in light of the devastation, in light of the incredible pain that many of us have experienced in life? Since we believe that God's word and his promises are true, then even this verse must be true. It must be true. It's like a puzzle. We have puzzle pieces on the table and you go, how does this fit together? Where does that piece go? How does this work? The good news is it does work. We just have to sit and look and spend time with God and meditate on his word and reflect and think deeply. How does this fit? This can really only be true if we understand that God has promised to meet all of our needs. But he's not promised to meet all of our wants. And we oftentimes get our wants and needs confused. And a lot of our wants really feel like needs, especially the deepest, most close, intimate personal relationships, our spouse, our children, deep, our parents. Those don't feel like wants as much as they feel like needs. But God has promised, I will give you everything that you need. And even when you lose those things, there's still going to be a deep contentedness because you have everything you need. And we'll talk about what is that. What are those things that we truly need? I just kind of came up with a list of, you know, how many of these things are real needs? Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, employment, family, friends, health, healing, safety, love, joy, peace, forgiveness, salvation, Jesus. If we think about physical life, then that paints the picture of we need food. Do we need shelter? Maybe we can get by for a few days, but ultimately, yeah, we need shelter. We need clothing. I don't think that these are necessarily the kind of things that God's talking about in this. Our deep needs are, it's not only physical, but it's eternal. It's spiritual. It's deep. The invisible things, peace, forgiveness, salvation, ultimately, Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. So what about the bad stuff? There's so much that could be said here. But the Bible says Job went through it. If you don't know Job's story, he went through it. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? God uses even the bad things. He uses even the hard things. He has a perspective on things that we don't have. Psalm 148, verse 8 says, fire and hail, snow and storm, wind and weather that obey him, as I think about Kerrville. All of this stuff obeys him. Yesterday afternoon, Laura said, oh, look at that. It's sunny in the front yard and raining in the backyard. I said, I got a verse about that. That is in my message. Amos 4, verse 7 says, I kept the rain from falling when you needed it most, ruining all of your crops. I sent rain on one town, or your front yard, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away. It's hard for us to comprehend how a good God could ordain bad things to happen in our world and in our lives, but it does help to know that this good God is also a God of love. The Bible says that, it doesn't say that he's loving, it says that he is love. He loves us, and everything that he does is for our good and for our glory. I'll read this verse, Romans 11, 33 through 34 and 36. I don't know if I have it up here or not, but oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is to understand his decisions and his methods. For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? For everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. We cannot know the mind of God. And many of us would say, as you go through the valley, at the time you think, there's no way that this could possibly, that any good could come from this. And then when you look back 10 years later or 20 years later and you go, wow, I'm so thankful for that valley that God brought me through because of the good that he did in it. I went through a divorce 2.5 years into a new marriage, no kids, my wife left. It was a devastating time for me. I could not see the good in that. And it's a painful thing. God hates divorce. That's why he hates divorce, because of the pain and the scars. But he used it. Randy Pope, who pastored the church, that one of my top mentors in life at Perimeter Church, said, God ordains that which he hates in order to accomplish that which he loves. And he does that for our good. I've experienced that. In the moment, I thought, how can this anything good come out of this? But then I look at what God did to my heart. He completely tenderized my heart. He crushed me in it, made me humble, made me broken so I can connect with broken people. I was not able to do that previously. But I can connect with brokenness because of that circumstance. God prepared me for ministry because of that. Had I not gone through that, I would not be who I am today. And I'm grateful for that. The Lord, Yahweh, Jesus is my shepherd. Yahweh, Jesus is my shepherd. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus. John 15, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. That verse was kind of the theme of the Alpha Youth video this past week. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. He loves us. He's close to us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The shepherd does that. He did that for us. The shepherd laid down his life. An illustration a few weeks ago in John 10 about the shepherd over in the Middle East had a sheep pen, and his friend was walking and saying, well, where's the gate? How do the sheep not, you know, leave? How do wolves not get in there? And he said, once they're in and secure for the night, I'm the gate. The shepherd lies down in the gate, and he said, they don't leave, they don't cross over my body, and nothing comes in. I'm the gate. The shepherd lays down his life for us. So I'll pause there. Just some immediate thoughts about Psalm 23, verse 1. And Kyle, I don't know if you have any thoughts about how any of this connects to your story, but I want to give you an opportunity just to share what comes to mind. Is there a mic there? Coming back.
Yeah, actually, Psalm 23 is my favorite chapter of the Bible. I used to sing it to the kids at night. Steve Greenberg, not Snow. A certain version of it. I just love it. And but I tell you, there was a time, I talk about that book I wrote. I'm not promoting it, trust me. I'm just kind of tying it in.
But you should get it.
You can't, actually. But anyway, but that came through 2008, 2010, and I was a house flipper. That was the absolute worst time in history. It was devastating and absolutely crushing, really kind of broke me in a lot of ways. And then, you know, my first wife, Jay, got pregnant with Grace. So that was tough. You know, it was great. We called her Grace because it was a picture of his grace, but it was also very hard because I was struggling, you know, in a lot of ways. And then, you know, she started getting sicker. And so I just was on my knees a lot, looking for God's provision. And there was a time I went on a prayer weekend, like what we call silent retreat. And I was just walking for hours and came across this field, and I just kind of sat down in it. And I meditated on this, on Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it just occurred to me that, you know, my trust was not fully in him. My trust was in my abilities or, you know, whatever business skills I had or whatever. My trust was not fully in him, but he was calling us to trust in him. And then there was another time in that same weekend where I was out in the middle of the woods and there was a little pond. And I was literally at that moment reading when Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil or reap or gather into barns. They're not working. You know, don't have bank accounts. But your heavenly Father feeds them. And literally at that moment, I look up and there's this heron that dives down into this little pond and comes out with a fish. And I thought, God was showing me something in that moment. Mm. And I went back to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's really the impetus of learning to live by faith. It's not about how much or little you have, it's about trusting him. And that's what I really came out of that weekend and then out of that whole experience with, was just that the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And to look to him for all things, in plenty and in want, he's our shepherd, and what we call want. Anyway, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you, Kyle. That brings it to life. Let's see. No, I'm going to wrap it up. I have I wish I had time to read it, but here's what I'll do. I have an article. I discovered this writer online. His name's Jeremiah Knight. He's in India. He was a Hindu. Long story, came to faith. He ended up the churches that he was a part of, realized that they were not really true churches. And so he had a difficult journey and ended up really finding true faith in Christ through a ministry here in the States. And I've stumbled on this guy's website, and his writings are just so powerful and so good. And I wanted to read one of his articles, but I'm out of time. But the good news is, the message, my notes that'll be included in my notes, and the slides are all going to be on the website. We post all that stuff every week. I would really encourage you to go read that article this week. And let's see, what's it titled? It'll be in the notes. And I'll actually pull it out and make it easy to access. It's titled, When Everything Else Fades. When Everything Else Fades. And it is so powerful. But here's the main point. I was going to use that article to illustrate this. Final thought. When the scripture says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's saying that with Jesus as our shepherd, we have everything that we need. The scriptures can say that because Jesus is everything that we need. Steve Brown has said this. Kyle referenced Steve earlier. This quote, I didn't realize it was from a guy named Ron Dunn, but I love this. It says, you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got. And when Jesus is all you've got, then you'll know that Jesus is all you need. When the smoke clears, when the dust settles, everything else and everyone else may be gone, but Jesus will never leave. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we have the shepherd, we have everything that we need because all we really need is the shepherd. And that's good news for us today. Let me pray. Father, we're so grateful for this verse of scripture that David wrote. He was a man after your own heart. He lived from the heart. He got in a lot of trouble because he lived from the heart. His passions took him all over the place. But ultimately, he lived from the heart, and you love that. You love that when we live from the heart. God, would you encourage us today? I know that this may be a heavy message for some of us, and how we look at the very difficult, devastating circumstances of life and reconcile that you are our good shepherd, and that in you, in Yahweh, in Jesus, we have everything that we need. We shall not want. You're taking care of us, and you give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And the ultimate issue is trust. God, help us to trust you. Thank you for the illustration that you gave to Kyle about you feeding the birds of the air and taking care of them. God, help us to trust that you'll do that with us, not to look at our circumstances, but to look at our shepherd. We love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.